Well, on Sunday we were talking about, in the book, the planting and the harvest. While most folks look for some kind of Christian harvest, the true gardener, the husbandman, looks for a different kind of harvest, doesn't he? So if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, I'll read this first paragraph here in the book, and then we'll look at these verses. A wonderful, though seldom detected, theme runs through the book of Hebrews. Briefly, it is the story of two bodies the Father has designed for His Son. As a husbandman, the gardener, right, the Father planted His only begotten Son and waits for the growth of the harvest of His many regenerated sons who will one day come to glory. God has spoken His full and all-inclusive message by His unique Son. And He will continue to speak throughout the whole universe in ages to come by His coming corporate Son in union with His unique Son. A summary of this theme is seen as follows. So in Hebrews chapter 1, starting with verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Right? I gotta move this down. It seems a little loud, right? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, or through His Son, right? Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day I have begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Turn to chapter 3. Verse 6. But Christ as a Son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast, I like that word if. It's a conjunction word. We're so naive into believing that so many things are automatic. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So what do you have to do? Wait, I have a question for you. But Christ as a Son over what? Over what? His own house. Whose house are we? Or in other words, we're the house, right? We could go to another place and it says, Know ye not that you are the temple, the house, the naos is the Greek word, the living temple of the Lord, right? But He says, Whose house are we if? Can we blot that word out? Can we take it out of the Bible? Come on, I want to take it out. I want to make it easy. If we hold fast. So you have to hold fast, right? The confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. Now, what is hope again? Expectation, right? What is the expectation? Now we are sons, right? But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he does appear, we shall be like him. And every man that has this hope, this expectation, shall do what? Purify himself, even as he is pure. So we must come to this understanding that we must hold fast and rejoice of the hope firm unto the end. I want to look at something here just a second. I believe the Greek word there is teleos, so you'll have to hang on 1 second. Ah, teleos, it is. Are you ready? Do you know what the Greek, you know what this word means? You ready? It means to set out for a definite point or goal. Sounds like an ultimate intention, doesn't it? He who endures to the middle, he who endures to the beginning, he who endures to the end, to the teleos, shall be saved, right? In other words, it's properly the point aimed at as a limit, isn't it? So we must understand that we are his house. Is that not true? We are his house. So, a summary of this theme is seen as follows, right? Let me back up and read this. God has spoken his full and all-inclusive message by his unique son. So does everybody understand that? God has spoken his full and unique message through his unique son, right? That's why he can actually declare it is finished. But it has not been appropriated by a second witness or established, right? Out of the two or three witnesses, a thing shall be what? Established. So how many witnesses has there been? How many? One. And who is the witness? So is it established in the earth? It's not your question. No. You need two witnesses. So what is the second witness, or what is he after? He's after a house, right? We all know this, right? If you look up the Hebrew word son, it means Ben, B-E-N, like Benjamin, son of my right hand, right? Ben, do you know what it means? It means to build a house. So how do you build a house? Not with 2x4s, not brick by brick, yeah, right? Steve's funny in how what he says, I really got what he said, but it is brick by brick, right? Watch this, right? Brick by brick or child by child, right? And if we really, stone by stone, because Peter says we're living stones, right? And we have to become a house of sacrifice or a house of praise, right? And if you want the Old Testament picture, Solomon built a house or a temple, right, that God came and dwelt in, didn't he? And what did he build it out of? Stones. And what did they do with those stones when they put them together? The Bible says not one sound of a hammer, no chiseling, because they were already prepared where? Out in the quarry. And it's amazing how they came and they sat and fit one right upon another. So he built a house, didn't he? So God's after a house, isn't he? But the house has to, you know, that's kind of interesting. We just sang the song tonight, right? I didn't know she was going to sing that song. But Danielle, did you get it? Show the house to the house. So what's it talking about? What's it talking about? Two witnesses, right? Who's the house? Show the house. What house is that? That's us. Show it to the house. Well, whose house is that? It's Jesus, right? Show the house to the house. And it says, with a what in his hand? A plumb line, because there's no other standard. The one thing that man has done is he's created, even Paul said this, if I come and preach another what? Jesus. How many different Jesuses are there? How many? I mean, you might have 100 in your own head, all depending on how the moment is. But the reality is there's only one plumb line, isn't there? You know, that's one thing I like about God. You're going to line up to Him. I'm going to line up to Him. No matter what man has brainwashed us with, you're going to line up to Him. I'm all messed up now, but I mean, think about this. You ready? Can I read this to you? Yeah? Show the house to the house, right? Isn't that what we're talking about? He needs a house, doesn't he? Let's go back to the beginning. He created man for what? To be a house. So he could what? What do you do in a house? This is where people mess up, right? When Jesus, in John chapter 14, right? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And the Greek word is dwelling places. Most people think they're going to heaven to get a mansion. And wait a minute. First of all, it's not your mansion, even if it was that way. It was the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places or abodes. In other words, I come to live inside of you. In my nature, in my character. And it does not yet appear what the Son, the house, shall look like. Anybody know why? They're out in the quarry. Yeah, they are. See, I'll preach to Selah. She can hear me. Are you with me? They're out in the quarry. Come on. You know what? Most folks don't get it yet. Most church folks, most kingdom church folks don't get it yet. This is the wilderness. It ain't the promised land. It's the wilderness. It's to try you. It's to test you. It's to see what you're made of. Because I'm going to tell you, you just read it the other day. Behold, I create a what? New heaven and a new earth. We've tried to hang on to the old and make it religious looking. And the problem is we've made it religious looking in our vernacular, our message. Hey, we brought forth just winded doctrines. Right? But it does not yet appear what the house shall look like. But every house that has this hope does what? He purifies himself. Now, can I read this to you? Do you mind if I read this to you? Read away. Are you ready? I have to find it first. Now, you know the story about Peter, right? You know Peter? Do you know who Peter is? I love Peter, even though I haven't met him. But I can relate to him. Can't you? You know, Jesus called him Simon Peter a lot. Simon being his, his old nature name, so to speak, or his, you know, and Peter being the new man, right? A little bit of mixture. That's the one thing people don't want to admit, right? There's mixture. And you remember he wouldn't let Jesus wash his feet? Because, no. Peter knew everything, didn't he? And the Lord said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Now, I don't know about you, but that must have been a dagger. So Peter went the other way, didn't he? He said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now, watch what Jesus says to him. Jesus saith to him, now he's talking, who? Now, by the way, do everybody know where this scenario takes place? It's at the Last Supper. It was the last time they were meeting together. Right? In other words, it was the last time that you would see this house in this dimension. Him and his 12 disciples, right? You know the story, right? The gospel show it well. And this is what Jesus said to him. He said, he that is washed, in other words, baptized, needs not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Not to save. Let me reread it. It's King James. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, if you've been washed, you don't need to get washed from head to toe again. You only need to keep washing your feet. Why do you think he said that? Your walk. He didn't say wash your mouth out with soap. He said your wash. Because most of us might have the right words, but the walk doesn't measure up to the talk. Remember this, Danielle? What was the name of the song? Walk what you, O children of Israel. And we're not talking about Israel over there. We're talking about the spiritual Israel of God. So watch this. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but watch this, but is clean in every whit. And you are clean, but not all of you. Now, can you imagine Jesus saying that? Because I guarantee you, most people think they are. Do you think Judas didn't think he was clean? The truth of the matter is, I believe those disciples had a dimension of humility that we don't have. We just talked about this, didn't we, Steve? And that's this. They didn't know who it was. Here's what we do. Well, I know it's not me. It must be Rebecca. Right? I was listening to a CD by Brother Varner the other day. And you want to know something? You know what he said on there? He said I'll rephrase it. He said, if you're not an apostle, quit correcting apostles. You want me to bring it down? If you're not a leader, stop correcting leaders. And that's exactly why Jesus said you're not all clean. And Paul wrote it this way, knowledge puffs you up. What's your point? My point is, if we want to be the house, we have to be like the house. And the first thing that house did is he did what? He humbled himself. Didn't he? And he became subject to who? The truth of the matter is he really became subject to the Father, didn't he? He didn't care where the instrument of leadership came from. His direct path or lifeline or umbilical cord was the Father. And if we really want to see the planting of the Lord be harvested, because listen, watch this. It's not what we know, is it? It's what fruit you are. And I'll tell you, in 2013, one of the most amazing verses I stumbled across was that my fruit would do what? Mature. Not good enough to have fruit, is it? It has to be mature. It's not even good enough to be called a son, is it? It's not even good enough just to be a house, is it? Some folks are happy with C's and D's. Some folks are happy with B's. But God's not after that at all, is he? See, now we would never have that expectation of our children if they were in school, would we? Or our students, would we? But we have absolutely no problem living that way with God. Because God is a great teacher, and he's going to give me an A no matter what. Am I right? God has spoken in his Son, hasn't he? Literally, Son-wise. Thou art my Son. But of the Son he saith, and Christ as a Son. Now in chapter 2, all right? Are you in chapter 2 of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 10. You ready? Now watch this. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many what? Sons into what? Glory. Now, that word sons, is anybody, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Having a good time, because it's all about the fun, isn't it? Now, the Greek word for sons is what? Does anybody know? It's not technon. It's weos. Right? There's a difference between a technon and a weos, isn't there? Watch, you say, wow, oh, the Greek, I don't know. You know the English, right? There's babies, there's children, and there's adults. We know that in the natural physical, right? But what about in the spiritual? So a weos, right, is a fully mature son. If we went over to the book of Revelation, out of the woman comes a man-child. We know that that man-child is a weos. Watch. Jesus was a weos, wasn't he? Right? Was Adam a weos? Mm-mm. Adam was as perfect as Adam could be up to that point. Like a lot of Christians. They don't understand, though, there's still a work that needs to be done in the new man. And that work is an inwrought cross that will bring us to what? Not my will, but his will. That will bring us to mature sonship, that all of a sudden, now the house, the body, looks like the house, the head. And now you will have two witnesses, watch this, established in the earth. Watch. Did Jesus come here? Jesus the man, did he come here? Did he strip himself? It says he was made a servant. He, we think man's so great with all of his religious robes, right, in his mind. But the reality is this. Jesus stripped himself of everything. Didn't he? I don't know about you, but I was thinking about this today. You know when Peter whacked off the ear, right? I mean, what did Jesus tell him? Why'd you do that? He said, I could have called 10,000 angels. Is that not true? He could have called 10,000 angels. But instead, watch this. There's what the house looks like. Here's the plumb line. Here's the pattern. He didn't call 10,000 angels to bail him out of his situation. He said, I chose the cross. Now, to the human mind, to the natural carnal mind, to the immature mind, right? Whew, that's not a path to play. That's not a path to go. But the reality is, if you want the ultimate intention of what God wants, right, then you're going to have to follow the pattern. Son. It's a good book. Everybody should read that book. the pattern son. Lay down your life. Soul life, psuche, mind, will, and emotions. Listen, I've been saying this for how many years? When's the last time you told yourself no when you could say yes? It's the biggest test you have. It really is. It's funny she says that because isn't that exactly what Jesus said? Deny yourself and come after me. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Because the very thing that destroys us is what? The cares of this life. It's the biggest trap we have. He points it out to us, doesn't he? In a very simple pattern or parable of the what? Seed. The seed. The very thing we're talking about. Instead of praying for the latter rain, we're usually praying for the cares of this life. What are you looking at me like that for? No reason. Is your mind, I see your mind spinning, isn't it? Thinking. You know, I talked to Steve about this yesterday, right? Was it yesterday? Yeah, when we were walking. I'm going to open up Wednesday nights, maybe once or twice a month, to give an outlet for some of you to share. But I'm going to be a little careful in what I do because of what happened last time and why I closed it up. But you'll have to come to me and we'll discuss it and I'll make the decision then. Who do you think you are? I'm the pastor. I can make the decision. What gives you the right? God did. I didn't ask to be in this position, did I? But I embrace it. Can you hear what God's really saying to us? If we want the house, we have to look like the house. Rebecca, the greatest miracle at the walls of Jericho was that the house of Israel. Isn't that what he called them? All together as one. Joshua didn't say one thing, and then someone in the congregation say, wait, what about this? What about this scripture over here? Doesn't it kind of balance out that scripture that you're using right there? No. Doesn't work that way, does it? And we never understand that all along this path, watch this, God's keeping a book, isn't he? Come on. He writes things, doesn't he? And if we don't think so, how come when we get to the book of Revelation, it says your name can be what? Blotted out. I wonder if it's because of all those footnotes that are under our names. You know what I like about God? He doesn't parent like me. He's not weak. Because he's going to have a house. If we think God's like us, right? The house is like us, right? You tell me, why did Jesus go to a cross? Oh, he did it so God could save the whole world. You messed up. You don't even know what you're talking about. He showed us a pattern, didn't he? Because Jesus, the way was the work, right? Or the work was the way for you and I. But it was an inwrought work in his own life to show you and I what the Father really requires. Do I have to go to a cross? Yes. Is that true? Jesus said, if you pick up your cross and follow me. All of a sudden, I realize I have a cross, don't I? So the pattern of the house has already been set. And I like what we read the other day. It is a distinct, deliberate pattern that we must follow. Now,
We can pick and choose along the way, right? Which we all do. Right? Uncle Terry smiled and Steve said yes. And some of you shook your head and maybe some of you don't believe me at all, but that's fine. You're right, it's not the truth. We pick and choose. His desire is to bring many sons to glory, isn't it? Now, why would God want to do that? He wants a family just like him. I'm a father. I have four children. I want the same for all four of my children. I want the same. Well, I'm the child, and I don't want that. That's because you don't understand what the Father really wants. You might think the Father wants you to, you know, grow up and be a fine adult and get married and have children and all those kind of things. And if that happens, that's fine and dandy. But that is not what my desire is. My desire as a father, as a parent, is to make my children understand that God's ultimate intention in life, not just yours, but in life, is to bring many sons to glory. And right now, whether you can hear it or not, is the Bible true? Is the Bible true? The Bible says every word was spoken or divinely breathed, wasn't it? So then, I have a question for you. If the Bible says in Romans that the whole creation groans for the manifestation of the sons, I have a question. Is the creation groaning or not? It is. The question is, can you hear it? Or are you tuned in to a different radio station? You know, I rarely listen to the Christian radio station. I listened to one of them coming home the other day, and I don't know, it must have been, either it was Smile FM or K-Love or one of them. And I listened to about four of those non-theologian songs that just got warped in my brain for like two or three days. And I said to myself, God, brainwash me, clean me up, because it's no wonder I don't listen to the radio. Messed up. And I'm not trying to throw stones, but I'm trying to get you to understand that God has a pattern son that you and I must follow. And if it does not come down to that, he will, we won't be part of the many sons brought to glory, right? And I'm here to tell you, with or without me, Steve, with or without you, Steve, God's going to have many sons brought to glory. Listen, those that are outside wailing and gnashing of teeth that are thrown into outer darkness is only a people that saw what they could have had. And what they're doing is they're pulling their hair out because, my God, if I would have just followed the pattern. A lot of folks just want to be in the throne room of God. I tell you, I don't want to be before the throne. I want to sit in the throne. To him who overcomes will I grant to sit down in my throne, even as I, as the pattern, have sat down in his throne. You know, the modern day message, which is 2,000 years old, mocks process. Right? And the minute you eliminate process and mock it, you have taken out the very essence of the firstborn son, and that was to overcome. And what's the message to the seven churches? Every single one of them have to do what? And then if you get to the book of Revelation in chapter 21, he who overcomes all things shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my house, son. Weos. It's simple, isn't it? How, I mean, why have we, mankind, why have we made the gospel so hard? Oh, I know why. We flavor it with our own juice. Oh, Lord, I don't want to say that. Aaron had four sons, didn't he? What did two of them do? They mixed the fire with their own fire. They wanted the light to look like them or what they produce. That's the problem with most people. That's why they want to be seen and heard. It's all about their production or what they can do. Right? Bring many sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening. Oh, God, let's not go there. Hebrews chapter 12. Do you want to go there? Hebrews chapter 12. Can we, I don't know, can we change the Bible? Please. Now, wherefore seeing, verse 1, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside, I'm glad one of you is with me, every weight, and the what? Sin which what? It easily besets us. We think sin is this big, hard thing to overcome. No, it trips us. No, it's easy. It's the little foxes that, you know, I was coming home, and you know, fox racing, right? Some pickup truck had the big fox thing, and I see them, and I'm like, you know, and it's like, them sly little devils. They're sneaky. They hide. And they strike when you aren't looking. Interesting. Jesus said, watch and be on your guard at all times. Are you with me? And let us run with patience, or endurance is the real word, the race that is set us before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We already read this. What's the joy that was set before him? Becoming a full house, wasn't he? He didn't listen. Do you really get why Jesus went to the cross? Do you really? It wasn't to show that he was an overcomer and he could go through death and get up. What he was doing was he was going to the cross. The joy that was set before him was he saw a corporate man where he was the head and there was a body. Watch this, Beck. When he went to that cross, he saw you and I standing here at this minute. Watch this, interceding and praying that like Peter, we would be converted, even though we've been born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, that we could come into the fullness of what he's after and be the house or the many sons brought to glory. I don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't want to hear, not all of you are clean. I want to lay aside every weight. Do you know what the biggest weight most people have? Does anybody know? It's right here. It's right between their ears, isn't it? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Vain imaginations, isn't it? And every thought needs to be brought into Christ. Are you with me? Looking unto Jesus, the author finished, for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you be wearied and faint in your own mind. So if you think you have it tough, I,
I think I should have this tattooed right on my head. Every time I whine and complain. Or maybe I should have it tattooed on my forehead so that every time you see it and you think it's me, you'll read it and you'll know it's you. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Here we go. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastising or the training or the disciplining of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Chasteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastising, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastises not? But if you be without chastisement, in other words, if you don't let the Lord ever correct you, I meet people like that every day. Wherefore, all are partakers, then you are bastards. Oh, that's a crude word, isn't it? You know, when I was a kid, if we said that word, we'd get our mouth washed out with soap, right? Because we consider it a cuss word, at least I do. That's the way I was trained. If you don't, that's fine. It says, but you're a bastard and not a son. Now, we know what the definition of bastard is in the English, right? What's it mean? Illegitimate. The worst thing that ever could be is to be an illegitimate and not a son of God. I have a question. You answer it. Because I'm always accused of being mean and negative and hard and, you know, like when you exercise, right? No pain, no gain. Is that right? Am I right? Now, Sherry thinks that's a lying saying, right? We ain't walked in 2 weeks, and this morning I got out of my car and started walking in. I said, oh, my God, I can feel it in my leg. I was like, geez, I must be getting old. No pain, no gain, right? But we actually don't understand the chastising of the Lord, like with Job, isn't a discipline because you did something wrong. Now, it could be, but primarily he's trying to build a house. If I put it in another vernacular or another parable, if I'm, you know, I'm not a very good gardener, but if I was a real consistent gardener and I wanted to have nice big tomato plants or something, you prune it, don't you? You cut it back. And sometimes God has to cut some things back in our lives, right? But if we don't allow him to do that, what are we? Now, I'll make it really nice. We're just illegitimate. Now, that doesn't sound so bad. No, you're a bastard. Is it true? Now, I know. I can be harsh. But I love to be extreme, don't I? But by being extreme, it'll get our attention, won't it? And if I can get your attention, all I'm doing is planting and watering. I let God do the rest. And you may not like me, you may not even love me, and I don't even really care. Because the thing that I care about the most is we become sons, not bastards. Now, I don't know about you, but in the face of it all, I'll take all the verbal punishment I can take if you'll become a son. And that, to me, is a greater love than anything you will find. Because when a teacher's willing to stand in the face of people who always will, listen, tell me Moses didn't love them people. Come on. God said, Moses, step aside and I'll kill them all and start all over with you. He said no. Isn't that what he said?
Lord, clear them all out and bring me a new congregation. Someone wants to hear. If people are hungry, they want to listen. You know what the saddest thing about people in church that have been around a long time? Number one, they start thinking they know everything. They think they're smarter than the teacher. They actually think they're smarter than the one that God set in front of them. I'm not talking about just this place. I'm talking about every place. And if you don't think so, that's why fish change tanks. But they never understood that God put them right where they are so they could understand the discipline or the chastising of the Lord so that they could become sons. And the reason they never understand it is because they're so self-centered and so self-focused. It's what we've been reading in the book, hasn't it? About what they can gain from God. And all of a sudden we become bastards instead of sons. No, don't preach that to me. I want to hear the good news. The good news is this: God has a house that he will have that looks just like him. And if my teacher, the Holy Ghost, lets me understand that Paul's greatest concern was that he was going to be a castaway, instead, you know, I should be like a modern day preacher, right? Just be, you know what, it's finished and I got it made. I like what Brother Viner says. Go on with yourself. Leave me alone. That's what he says. Because really, God's going to have what he wants, right? He's going to have a son, isn't he? Head and body. Now, I don't know about you, but that thrills me. And it makes me determined that, God, I want to, even though I can't do it in my own strength, I want to be just like you. Should I say this? Every true son wants to be like his father. It's true. Because true sons idolize their fathers. They worship them. Am I right, Steve? You make your daddy bigger than life, don't you? That's what David did. That's why there was a difference between David's father, Jesse, and Saul. That's what made Jonathan be appealing to David. Because his daddy was bigger than Saul. And I don't know about you, but Jesus made his father. Come on. What did Philip say? Show us the Father. And he said, I've been showing you the Father. Have I been with you so long you haven't seen the Father? This is what Daddy looks like. This is how Daddy acts. Are you in love with God? I'll tell you what, I don't serve God out of duty. I don't serve God out of assignment. I serve God because he came and he went right down inside of this being and he said, he whispered in my ear and he said, I love you. And it was a love that has been resonating ever since. I told you, you could all walk away. I'm not walking away from God. He could kill everybody around me. He could make your life miserable. But there's a love that goes beyond, because you know that in his ultimate intention, God has a purpose that's far greater than a temporary moment in time. It's an eternal realm that goes beyond what I can even comprehend. Watch this. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our, whereby we cry. Is there a passionate cry within your heart? Abba, Father. I want to be like the house. Danielle, wonderful song tonight. I actually heard her say this. I've been struggling all day. I didn't know what, she was saying it. I'm just trying to find the mind of the Lord in what song to sing. Am I right? Did you think you found it? Do you know you found it now? The house. The house. And watch this. A servant doesn't abide in the house forever. Hey, we're just servants right now. You can say what you want. It's that son servanthood, right? In its immature state. Watch this. You don't believe me. You don't believe me. But I just use scripture just to prove my point. You're not going to outprove me. Watch this. As long as an heir, a son, is a child, he's no different than a servant. But the servant doesn't abide in the house forever. But the son abides, dwells, lives in the house. So this is what, you know, I feel like Corey right now. It may not look like it on the outside, but man, I'm jumping for joy on the inside. I mean, I'm doing cartwheels, and I mean, I hear the Holy Ghost is just having, he's at the carnival right now inside of me. And I mean, he's about to cause my flesh to just to do a little Holy Ghost shake. Because God's after something, isn't he? Run the race with what? Patience or endurance. This is a marathon, Steve. We've wanted to sprint to the finish line. But you know, even the folks that have sprinted to the finish line, they run right up to the tomb and they don't go in anyway. They're happy with knowing what God wants. I'm not happy. I'm like David's 400 men stuck in a cave. I've got a divine discontentment within my soul that says, God, I want everything that you have promised. And I understand, God, I'm going to have to pay a price to see it happen. Job found out, though, didn't he? You could take his children, you could take his money. He didn't lose his wife, but he lost his children. He lost his money, he lost his wealth, he lost everything. And even his own health he lost, right? Which, by the way, God allowed to happen. Because we're in whose hands? Not in the devil's hands. I'm in God's hands, right? But he got a revelation, didn't he? What did he say? I'll see God in my flesh. He wasn't talking about me sitting here peering off. He got a vision of God inside of him. This is going to take me a long time to do this chapter. God deals with you as sons, doesn't he? You are come to the church, the assembly of the firstborn, who are registered as citizens in heaven. Moreover, herein are two bodies. When he, Christ, entered into the world, he said, you have made ready a body for me to offer. This natural individual body, which he received, was offered or planted in death. But there is another body of which Paul speaks in Colossians 1:18, the many-membered corporate body, the church. Did you hear that? Now, and dare I say this? Nah, I won't. I'll just tick some of you off. God's word speaks much of the first body which the Lord Jesus sacrificed on the cross, that we might experience a personal setting apart unto God. But here we have only the foothills of truth. God, you listen to a lot of folks, you think it's the whole mountain, don't you? Don't you? The summit of truth reaches far up into a corporate experience of which we only have glimpses at present, till we all come unto a perfect man. That's not individuals, that's corporate, right? Because what? What is the mystery hid from the ages? Christ in and among you all. The word Christ in you, the word you is plural, right? Not individual. Unto a perfect man, Paul wrote, unto the measure of the stature of the partialness, the fullness.
of Christ. Norman Grubbs notes that it does not say, so also is the body of Christ, but so also is Christ. Do you get that? Do you get that back? Christ isn't just Jesus. If you say Christ is just Jesus, now this is where a lot of people would think this is blasphemy, heresy, craziness, whacked out job, whatever. But Christ, watch this. If I only said Christ was Jesus, like the Queen of Sheba, that would only be what? Half the story. Now, that which is in part shall be done away with when that which is made perfect, complete, mature, full is brought in the open, right? So, what is the fullness of Christ? Head and a body. Watch this. If you don't believe me, okay. In the Bible, we know children were called seed, right? Right. We understand that, right? We know the word seed is the word sperma, isn't it? Come on, we know this. I'm not trying to be crude or anything, but I'm trying to make a point here. Listen, we are the seed of Christ. So if you're the seed of Christ, according to the Bible, right? According to the Bible, if you're the seed of Christ, what do you think you are? Christ. It's not difficult. Now your problem becomes between your ears. Do I believe it or don't I? And I'm not talking about, good God, I can remember 25 years ago, 30 years ago, people running around, I'm the king's kid, I'm the king's kid, you know? And, you know, people get off in these things. Well, there's truth in what people say, but that doesn't mean they have reality in their lifestyle. Right. Don't videotape me. Don't videotape your life. You may not like to see the rerun. Sherry now makes fun of me because, you know, Madison's learning to drive, and they always, you know, my kids told her that when I was teaching them how to drive, I used to say, bam, you ran over this, or boom, you did this, or, but you want to, what's that? Say it. Boom, 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 there goes five people down, right? I'm an extremist, but other than Nathaniel, nobody's been in an accident. Is that because of your drive? No, no. What my point is, I am only trying to make you aware of what God really wants in your life. And I'll do whatever method I can. I'll even make you mad at me if you'll become what God wants. No, I don't care. Well, why would you do that? Because, watch this. What God has for our lives is eternal. And it's far greater than a temporary lapse in how you feel about me. I'm not afraid. Because I know one thing. Watch this. Read the book. Follow the pattern. We win. Anybody like sports? Like sports? I guarantee you, absolute fact, tell me if I'm wrong. I guarantee you almost every single coach or manager of any sports team that ever won championships, and if they won multiple championships,
you will find out most of the players did not like them or their methods. Am I right? I mean, I like the Detroit Red Wings, and Stevie Eiserman was a great hockey player. We liked him for a lot of years, but he never could win a Stanley Cup, could he? Then Scotty Bowman came along, which most people did not like Scotty Bowman. And Steve Eiserman used to pout and cry all the time because, you know what? He couldn't be that 65-goal scorer. And all. But you know what? When he started doing what Scotty Bowman's methods were like, made him a super player in the sense of not individual stats. Watch this. As a team, as a house. A lot of great individual players, right? Dan Marino, not many quarterbacks better than Dan Marino ever, was there? Does he have a Super Bowl? No. Now some people say, well, it's not his fault. You're missing the point. Why you say all this? I say all this to say this. I don't want to be a bastard. I don't want to be illegitimate. You know what makes me illegitimate? Hey, didn't I do all these things in your name? Didn't I do it because it was the right thing to do? I didn't know you. Now, that'd be a tough pill to swallow. We'd want to come over the fence and start swinging, wouldn't we? Watch this. Newsflash. It's not an automatic. For if it was, he would not say, overcome, straight as the gate, and narrowing. This thing gets tighter the closer we get. The pressure, the helplessness, and the feeling of failure is only the process of God to bring us to a place. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. Isn't it? Can we conceive this? We are led to a final unification with Christ, which is beyond our present understanding. When the Father fulfills the mystery of his will, he will gather together, watch this, in one, all things in Christ, both which are in. Is anybody with me? Is anybody with me? Are you listening? Which are where? In heaven and in earth. I guarantee you, the overwhelming majority of people, when they start thinking about the Christ or the harvest or whatever God's doing, are only thinking about the people that are alive and that they can see. And God says right there that are where? Heaven and earth. I think Ephesians says the whole family, doesn't it? Does it say it right there too? No. If you go into the book of Ephesians right there in that, he says the whole family. He's going to head up all things in where? Heaven is what? The realm of the spirit. Right? Because you can die and your body can go in the ground, but that doesn't, you know, that's just the window you look out of, right? What did Paul write in Corinthians? He said, if this tabernacle, this tent, this house, if it's taken down, he said, we have a whole new one in the heavens. Walk by faith and not by sight. Let's stand. I hope you're not bored. I tell you what, seriously, This is, you know what this book is? This word is? Seriously, Paul wrote it. He said, it'll be the savor of death to some, right? But it'll be life to others. And strong meat belongs to who? Those that are of full age. Mature. And why do you have to be mature to have strong meat? Teeth. You have to have teeth. Right? You remember this? What did Jesus, what did the Lord tell Moses to tell the people to do when he took the lamb? Roast it with what? Fire. And why with fire? He told them not to boil it, right? Because if you boil it, it'll be what? Watered down, mushy, and that's what we've done with the gospel. We've watered it down. We've made it mushy. Jesus loves everybody, and he's just going to, you know, he's just going to have his old good time. And there's partial truth in that, isn't it? But it's not the whole word of God, is it? I think Brother Wilson called it the dessert, didn't he? And oh, by the way, you also can't eat it raw, can you? Because if you eat it raw, you're no different than a what? An animal, a beast. Father, we thank you for your word. I love the fact, God, that the house has been showed to the house. And there's a plumb line in your hand. And we cannot... cannot change the coordinates of that plumb line. Paul, you said if we come and we preach another Jesus, not to listen to it. He's the author, the finisher of our salvation. God, you're after the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, as we yield ourselves, change our hearts, make them ever true. And God, that we might purify ourselves, even as you're pure. That we won't be like those that you declared that not all are pure, not all are clean. God, you didn't just save us from something. You saved us unto yourself. And though this is just a moment in time, the truth of the matter is, God, you've been working out your life in us for the eternal. You know what the Bible says this? There's a common salvation, there's a great salvation, and there's an eternal salvation. Three dimensions, because God does things in threes, right? First day, second day, third day. A lot of folks are happy with a common salvation. That's like getting a C on your report card. And other folks, you know, they get a little bit of revelation. They say, man, I want to get a B. That's a great salvation. That's better. It's great, huh? God's after an A, isn't he? Eternal salvation. The third heaven, huh? That's what people don't get, right? Paul said this. He said, I was caught up into the third heaven. I was caught up into paradise, the third heaven. You know, when people say to me all the time, I used to tell them, I'm going to heaven. I'd say to them, which one are you going to, the first, second, or third? They'd be all confused. What are you talking about? There's only one heaven. No, you haven't read your Bible. The third heaven. The third dimension of God. The eternal place of God. Amen. Amen. Be careful driving.